Right. Hello, everybody, and welcome to the War Room. This one is for the UFC feature bout, the people's main event, the one that we're all excited for, Tony Ferguson against Michael Chandler. Okay, so Tony Ferguson's currently ranked number 7. Michael Chandler's at number 5. They both had a bit of a rough time recently. Chandler's coming off 2 losses. The Charles Oliveira one where he was dropped and finished, and the Justin Gaethje one where he may as well have been hit by a bus. I mean, his leg was wrecked. He took so many punches. They were both pretty gassed at about 3 minutes into the first round. But then you kind of in Gaethje territory there. I mean, that's where he thrives. He's an absolute animal. And Chandler kind of fought, I don't know. It was reckless. It was a bit, I don't know whether it was out of his ego or excitement or whether he just got drawn into the fact that you can kind of hit Justin Gaethje pretty much as you want. You've just got to be prepared to get hit back. And for him to take the majority of shots. And Justin Gaethje's low kick was really debilitating. And that's one thing that Chandler, there's a real trade. The way that Chandler stands, he's got a very, very long stance. But the trade-off there is that lead leg is vulnerable. It makes him very quick off the mark for his right hand and for his level change. But, there is a drawback there. So that's a problem he has to solve. Now, Tony Ferguson might decide to go down that route. He may have watched the Justin Gaethje fight and think to himself, I'm going to attack that lead leg. If I could do that same thing to him, then I'm going to be able to have a better time of, catching his neck or catching him with something clean to the head. Ferguson's got, he's got effective striking. It's unorthodox. But when he sticks to his fundamentals, they're good. My concern with him throwing low kicks, though, is he does kind of leave his head on the center line. He kind of crouches in front of his opponents and he's there to be hit. And one thing that Tony Ferguson doesn't want to do in this fight is be taking hardly any shots from Michael Chandler, because Chandler's got power in both hands, especially with his straight punches. And that's, something that he benefits from. With his long stance, he's very quick off the mark, and he's able to generate a lot of power into his straight punches. But then, of course, the lead leg vulnerable. Let me talk about the tail of the tape very quickly. So, Tony Ferguson 26-6, Michael Chandler 22-7. Tony Ferguson with the height advantage of 3 inches and the reach advantage of 5 inches. He's going to seem like the longer, taller guy in there, but he doesn't necessarily use his reach all the time. That there are certain aspects to Tony Ferguson's game which I think could be very effective in this fight. This is a good matchup. It makes a lot of sense because they're both in this kind of position where they both need a win. They're both taking quite a bit of damage, but you also know this one's going to be fireworks because Chandler is explosive no matter what. He's always trying to get the finish, and Tony Ferguson's, he's a bit of a wild man. You don't really know exactly what he's going to do next. And I don't think he does either. They've also got a ridiculous strikes lander per minute. 5.15 and 5.17 for both of them. It's really high striking output. Tony has a better striking defense. But then again, that's based on his whole career and not necessarily his more recent fights. And same goes for Chandler. He took a lot of shots in his last couple of fights. They are starting to stack up towards the end of the career. So who knows what condition these guys are going to be in to take some more shots in this one. Takedown average, of course, is on Michael Chandler's side. Takedown defense is fairly even. 67% for Tony Ferguson to 71% for Chandler, and both of them with the same submission output as well. So, again, this is why it's such a cool fight. It's why, one of the reasons why I want to do a show on it, because it's very dynamic. There are loads of different ways this can go. Okay. So where am I? So if we look at Tony Ferguson first, his striking is very awkward. He doesn't really have a stance. He doesn't really have a particular movement pattern. Sometimes he'll kind of bound from side to side as he's attacking. Sometimes he'll step through and switch stance and throw weird shots from strange angles. But because he's got such long arms, and because he comes from strange angles, he lands with weird punches. And it's something that's always stood out to me in his career, because we're still trying to understand MMA striking. There's still a lot of ways that the fist can land on a target and do damage to it. You know, Saeed Nurmagomedov's got a really nice ridge hand that he uses. Junior Dos Santos uses the inside of his knuckles quite a lot, which seems like an odd thing to do, but, you know, it works very well for him. Like, if you watch this against Ramzi Nijem here, obviously it's a little while ago, he throws this really long, sweeping left hook. I mean, again, look, his feet are kind of nowhere, landing on his heel as well. I'm interested to see, because I know he's working with Freddie Roach, and I've worked a bit with Freddie in the past, and he's very, very much a nice, good basics and fundamentals. What I would like is for him to have nailed down some of the simple parts of Tony Ferguson's game and made them better. I don't know how much he's working with Freddie. Of course, you know, Freddie Roach is a busy individual. But to be able to better utilize these long limbs that he's got and the power that he seems to be able to generate, it would be a real benefit. I mean, that's a really, really odd punch. We'll see it from the other angle here. And look at the way that the fist lands. It doesn't even kind of come like a hook. And as it lands, it goes across the, almost like across the cheekbone, but hitting with the inside of the knuckles. But clearly there's a lot of damage. Ramzi Nijem's legs stiffen up, and then Tony Ferguson rushes in. And this is probably my favorite punch that he lands against Kakuno. So he's kind of course, you know, he kind of hangs his head out there. He's got this weird style. So his opponent tries to throw a shot, throws a lead hand. Tony slips out the way, just touches him with the lead hand. It's almost like a measurement. He didn't want to hit him too hard with that and push him out of the way of the power shot that was coming. Touches him with the lead hand, and then bang. Right across the chin with the right hand. This other angle's better. Good head movement. You know, this is the kind of thing that Tony Ferguson needs to do, because Chandler's going to definitely be trying to crack him with some big shots. That will slip out of the way. And watch how he touches him with the lead hand. It's just like he's setting his target. Because you can clearly see he could have straightened that arm further. He could have really punched into him, and that would have moved his head back in this direction, which may have brought him out of range of the right hand. Touch, bang. Really nice. And of course, when it closes range, something that Tony Ferguson is very much known for are his elbows. There are two particular times when he's landed elbows to me, and they were it was a masterclass elbow. Very, very unorthodox still, but, you know, effective because he's difficult to read. So he's here against Josh Thompson, who's a very good fighter. You know, one of my favorites to watch back in the day, a little bit chaotic as well, would like throw strange things at his opponent. And Tony steps in and slices him with an elbow. And, you know, he might be towards the end of his career, but one thing, you know, his elbows are no more blunt than they were a few years ago. He's got very, very dangerous elbows. And because Chandler steps in so big with his, you know, with his shots, like, Tony Ferguson doesn't mind getting hit. There might be a situation where he just stands his ground and just goes smash and walks him onto one of these elbows. Like, watch this one he lands against Josh here. Well, he cracks him across the side of the head. Sorry, I'm jumping the gun here. So he reaches for the lead hand, which is quite a... John Jones uses this a lot against Rashad Evans. Reaches for the lead hand and then comes around the side with the elbow. So he kind of pulls the hand down and out the way. Little kung fu move. Bang, right on the side of the head. And then Josh Thompson's wobbled. Gathers himself... Gets back up to his feet, and then this one lands. And it literally is a slicing elbow. I mean, it really is. And you can tell it's a slicing elbow because it doesn't really turn Josh Thompson's head too much. But then as soon as he moves past him, kind of like the cut I was talking about in the other war room that's up, if you haven't watched it already, you can see blood immediately. Ooh, you can see blood straight away. Like, it cuts him immediately. It does a lot of damage straight away. And he's wobbled. And of course, goes for a spinning elbow, but just can't stay on his feet. Here's a better view of it. Again, grabs the hands first, grabs the wrists, controls him. He's coming around the outside. Bang. Slice right across his eyebrow. And straight away, there's the cut. And then, of course, against Edson Barbosa, lands a really nice smashing up elbow. Hurts him with that one, and then steps through with another one. And he's doing the same thing here. He's reaching with this hand to the lead hand of Edson Barbosa. Reaches with the hand. So he just cups it with his fingers, just catches it and pulls it out of the way. It's a small, subtle movement, but it allows him to roll his elbow over and hit. Smashes right down on his chin. And then, of course, he's bloodied. And this is often what happens in Tony Ferguson's fights. He doesn't really mind if you don't take, if you're trying to take him down. Because Chandler might try and take him down. And if he does, there are lots of things waiting for him. There are anacondas and Darce chokes and rear naked chokes. And if he's been hit with some elbows on the way in, or if he's been hit with those long range straight punches that Tony's got, we might see Chandler, you know, bloodied and tired and level changing recklessly and, you know, running into something like this. I mean, it's very rare that we see Edson Barbosa level changes. You know, it's not something we see very often. But as he does it, Tony, of course, defends it. Really good job of defending it. Circles around, caps the back of the head. So he's immediately got pressure on the back of the head just to slow his opponent down before he replaces it with his arm. See the hands on the back of the head? There, look. All the way through. Caught on the back of the head, controlling him. So as he's able to climb over him, his posture's still broken. He's not able to posture up and get to a stronger position. Over, wraps, and stays on it. Stays on it. Readjusts. And as Barbosa bails off to his side, you can see that Tony Ferguson's already got the Darce choke wrapped up. Bit of panic because of the cut. Bit of a scramble. The blood makes it a bit easier to sink in. I mean, this is Tony Ferguson's game. This is exactly what we would expect from a Tony Ferguson fight. You know, a bloody mess with a Darce or rear naked or anaconda choke finish. I could quite easily see this fight going that way. I could easily see Tony Ferguson being able to better Michael Chandler, especially if Chandler's being a bit reckless like he was against Justin Gaethje. And that is the tendency when you fight Tony Ferguson, because he is hittable, and you know, you do kind of feel like you're getting the better of him, but then he's that punch bag that just won't go away, and next thing he's clawing his way back into the fight. I don't really know where these two guys are at in their career, in their head, in their health. I don't know where they're at. I don't know who's got more left on the table. You would think that Michael Chandler's got a bit more left on the table, but I don't know, because the trickiness of Tony Ferguson, it opens up some options for him. Like, my concern for Tony Ferguson is that he's going to be hit like he's maybe never been hit before. The way that Michael Chandler covers distance, the speed at which he's able to land these straight punches. And I mean, he took a lot of shots against Justin Gaethje. He took a lot of shots. I feel like the accuracy of Michael Chandler, the right hand that he lands, or his left, because he can do this out of both stances. If he's able to connect with Tony Ferguson, the speed and power and accuracy that he does, he might just be able to put Tony Ferguson out first round. Just clean straight shot to the chin. One time. Bang. Or he might hit him and hurt him enough to be able to put him on the floor where he can then start to wrestle. And we have seen Tony Ferguson dominate from top position recently. It wouldn't surprise me if Michael Chandler feels like he can do that as well. Let me show you a couple of things of Chandler, because he really is a lot of fun to watch. You know, you go back to his Bellator days, and this fight against Pitbull here, this is the best version of his right hand you'll find, in my opinion. It's so clean. It's so sharp. And he's a double threat. You know, because he's got that long, low stance, he only needs to level change another 6 inches before he's in on a takedown. But at the same time, he could be throwing that straight right. And you know, either are dangerous. Like, watch the way that he steps into this. Little feint. I mean, that is... It's like, it's the kind of punch that you would throw on one of those punch machines. Like, to try and break the high score. But he's doing it on a person. And he's doing it on a good fighter as well. Like, the speed at which he moves. Bang! On the chin. Opponent is marbleized. Done. Here it is one more time. And look how straight it is. I mean, he adjusts it slightly. From here, there's a little adjustment to bring his elbow up and to chamber his shoulder. Disguised with his lead hand. Throws his lead hand out. And now it's chambered and ready, and it's right next to his chin. And it's firing clean to his opponent's chin. And he's pushing off that back foot. This punch is rooted in that back foot. The power is now driving up through and into his opponent's chin. And he's thrown with so much power, almost like a shot put being launched, that the foot actually follows the punch off the ground. Once it's initiated, there's already a lot of power. It's already traveling with power now. And as it lands, game over. There's another one. Oh, I mean, it's just the one of the cleanest right hands you'll ever see. Beautiful punch. And, you know, we saw the same thing against Sydney Outlaw as well. This one kind of landed on the side of the head. And you can just see what it does to his legs. He just stiffens his legs. He just drops. And then one more shot to the side of the head for good measure. Look how low he is. Like, it would be very, very easy to mistake that for a level change. You would be forgiven to be half sprawling at this point. The reason why this lands is because you can go back and watch the fight. It's on YouTube. Throughout the opening minutes of this fight, Chandler was jabbing to the body. So every time he was dropping his level, Sydney Outlaw was getting touched to the body, and he was thinking, I'm going to counter him with that hook. And that's what he does. As he level changes, you can see Sydney Outlaw starting to throw his left hook here. He's starting to come over the top, but obviously he thinks his opponent's going to be lower down and that his head's going to be exposed because he's throwing his jab, and he's not. He's throwing that dangerous right hand right on the side of the head. Bang, one more. And against Ben Henderson, just to prove he can do it from both sides, he goes body kick, which switches his stance, resets, covers it with the jab, just like he did before, and then bam, right on the chin. So it's so, so quick. Bang. I mean, if my straight punches looked as good as that on the punch bag, I'd be happy. To be able to do it in a fight, look how long his stance is, though. There is a danger. If you can damage this calf muscle, if you can put some bruising onto that, you're going to really start to affect all of his movement, as we saw in his fight against Justin Gaethje. It might be a temptation for Tony Ferguson, but it might be a bad trade. I kind of feel like it's a bad trade. I don't think I'd do it if I was him. I think I'd be working my straight punches, my good fundamentals, and then be trying to capitalize on him level changing. Driving off that back foot. Bang. Great punch. And ambidextrous as well. You know, to be able to do it from both sides is a real strong skill set to have. Now, of course, you know, as I was saying, you know, there's the possibility when Chandler steps forward like that he's not throwing the straight punch. There's a possibility that he's level changing. And if he is level changing, what you don't want is to be driven into the fence, to have your legs cleared, and then for him to be in top control, starting to work that crucifix position, starting to pin your arms out where he can then start to chip away. Most of the time, what Chandler likes to do is he likes to cook his opponents on the floor and beat them up and make it unpleasant and start to get them to turn and, you know, try and get away, but in a more reckless fashion and a less calculated one. And then he starts to look for arm triangles and rear naked chokes, guillotines when they're trying to scramble. He's happy with people trying to get back to their feet because that's when his opportunities to submit them are. Tony Ferguson's takedown defense is effective, but it's chaotic at the same time, same as the rest of his game. There's a lot of tumbling and scrambling and wildness, and this might be a benefit to him in this fight, because whenever Michael Chandler initiates a takedown, most likely he's going to be able to do it quick enough to be able to get in on Tony Ferguson's legs and finish it. So Ferguson's got to accept that he might have to be doing his takedown offense after he's already landed on the floor, rolling through and defending in that way. You know, creating a scramble, accepting the takedown's coming and deciding you're not going to defend it, you're going to dive on a leg or whatever. This is where Tony Ferguson's chaos comes into play, and it's a lot of fun to watch. Like here against RDA, he throws an inside low kick. See what I mean? Heads on the center line. It just seems very, very risky to me for him to be doing that against Chandler. But anyway, so he gets taken down here, immediately accepts. He puts both of his feet into a butterfly hook position. So RDA is primed, and he just fires him off and gets back to his feet. And here's another great scramble against Ramzi Nijem, who is very, very deep, controlling both legs. Could quite easily turn the corner and put Tony Ferguson down. But instead of allowing that to happen and then dealing with the problem with jiu-jitsu, with side control escapes or whatever, he decides he wants to just forward roll out of it, create a bit of chaos, which turns out, I mean, it pays off, because you can see Ramzi Nijem really tries to keep his arms around him. And Tony's able to scramble and put himself in a strong position to strike. These chaotic scrambles are based on a good instinct of foundational wrestling and jiu-jitsu. They can be a bit reckless, and he does take a lot of chances. But then there are benefits, because it puts him in positions where he can start to attack. Like, that's a really good shot right there against Ramzi Nijem, a hard uppercut. Really nice. And then if he finds himself in this position most of the time, of course he's thinking darces and anacondas. And if he's just hit his opponent, they might be kind of dazed, might not be really quite thinking exactly what they're doing. And before they know it, they're half asleep. Here's a good example here, one of his earlier fights. Lovely long jab. Look at that long reach that he's got. Like, if he uses that against Chandler, it's going to be really difficult for Chandler to catch him without covering a lot of distance. Stings him with that, but isn't too eager to close distance. His opponent shoots from a long way out because he doesn't feel like he can get any closer in. And Tony Ferguson defends it, and he's immediately threatening the neck. And here's another exchange here where he catches him with a counter shot. Short punch on the chin, and his opponent's now rocked. You could quite easily see this happening with Chandler. That could be a punch, or it could be an elbow. And then his opponent level changes. And here's Tony Ferguson back in his game. He wraps up, I think this one's a darce. Yeah, this one's a darce. He wraps up a darce and he falls to the side. And then he puts that squeeze on and he chases his opponent. So now his opponent's trying to get his hips away so there's some space for him to stretch his neck out and breathe. What Tony's doing right now is he's trying to bring their hips together, which forces his head further into the choke. Lovely stuff. And then clamped onto a guillotine. Like, this is the thing. At any point when the posture is broken, you've got to also remember that he's got a height advantage. At any point when Chandler's posture is broken, Tony Ferguson could be over him, working on his neck. Yeah, I mean, it's a really, really strong position for Tony Ferguson. He's proven that over and over again. And a tired or hurt or beaten up Michael Chandler, you know, he might be susceptible. If I'm Tony Ferguson, that's what I'm thinking. I'm thinking I'm going to snatch his neck and I'm not going to try and initiate grappling until he's already hurt. But that's easier said than done. So Chandler could dictate this fight. He could decide to use his wrestling. And if he's disguising his wrestling behind those straight punches, he's probably going to be able to do both and do both very effectively. Here's an example here. Look how he throws his straight punch. Straight to the chin. Doesn't really land it, but immediately is in on a level change. Grabs the legs, lifts his opponent up and slams him to the floor, and then immediately starts to progress past his guard. I mean, his opponent's scrambling to his knees here. He's gone over, so he's got an underhook on the arm, which is prying to the floor, and then he goes over his opponent's head and kind of bosses him over. Very powerful individual. You know, I do feel like he's going to be able to move Tony Ferguson around and control him, but there will be an energy expenditure there, which might benefit Tony Ferguson, who doesn't seem to get tired still. Bosses him over, puts him onto his shoulders, and then straight away, look what he does to the hand. He grabs the wrist, he drives it to the floor, and then he drops his leg over the top of it. There, now that's his. And now his opponent's only got one arm to defend with. And what you'll see him do is, in this position here, he can strike his opponent, and his opponent can kind of defend. But then he sweeps, he does a wide backstroke. Where is it? Here we go. He goes wide backstroke, and he goes over the other side of the arm, and then clamps on, hands together, and now he's got his arm triangle. And this is a very, very quick attack. He rides the momentum of the opponent trying to scramble. His opponent drives off the fence, you can see. He rides that, and as he runs back towards him, he goes straight over, passes past mount, and then he's on that arm triangle position. And again, powerful upper body, shorter arms than Tony Ferguson, which can be a benefit in these positions. And he's driving that shoulder into his opponent's throat at the same time as putting an immense amount of squeeze on his neck as well. And, you know, one of the best fights that you could watch is his war against Eddie Alvarez. Go and check this fight out. So, you know, by this point, he's got Eddie Alvarez on the floor. It's, you know, halfway through the fourth round. He passes. Eddie's so worn out. Picks up, drops his knee on, and then scoops his leg over, takes full mount. And then he starts to land some shots. And this is what I'm saying. He doesn't really intensely work for the submission. He'll just cook you and beat you up until you start to scramble and turn and do things that, you know, make you vulnerable, like he does here with Eddie. Like, he starts to threaten the neck here as Eddie's turning and keeps his hips really low. The key is how low he's keeping his body. Like, he is pressuring down into Eddie at this point. So there's no way that Eddie can, like, posture up and get to his knees. And he stays flat, driving into his opponent. Look at that. That strong position that he's got there. So he's driving his hips in at the same time as being under Eddie Alvarez's neck and being posturing up to finish that choke. Really nice finish. Again, he could hit Tony Ferguson. Ferguson's rocked. He could level change. Bang! Puts him on his back. Tony Ferguson's doing some wild thing to scramble, and Chandler, instead of trying to flow with that scramble, he just slowly, oppressively just wears on him, gets his hooks in, flattens him out, and strangle. Or he beats him up from a position where Tony then starts to reach and do some kind of crazy escape because he's panicking a little bit, and he reaches, bam, and he's into an arm triangle. It's going to be difficult to top this one for fight of the night. I think it's going to be a really electric one, especially because it's three rounds. Of course, the main event's going to be amazing as well. There's some other fights lower down the card as well that are going to be really exciting. But this one, for me, is fascinating. I don't really mind that these guys are at this stage in their career because I feel like it adds a layer to the narrative. And I feel like it puts more intensity on both of these guys' minds when they're stepping in here. I think this one's going to be a really good fight. I hope you've learned something today, and I hope I've explained something that made some sense, because this one was a really interesting one to research. I'm a big fan of both of these guys, and I think we're lucky to be able to watch them fight each other at this point in their career. Anyway, enjoy the fights, and I'll see you next time.